Okay, it's a Monday VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi in Jersey. And Michael, I'm taking a look. NESN, of course, is airing the White Sox and Red Sox. It's marathon day, so an early first pitch. And if you had the over 7.5, you cashed it by the bottom of the second. It's already 7-1, the Red Sox up on the White Sox. What's going on?
I didn't get a chance. We didn't start the show. I would have said that. I like the over in this game. So,
Mr. Baseball had this one pegged.
It was supposed to be a quality pitching matchup, but I can't say the kid's name, Giolito.
Giolito, yep, you nailed it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there you go. I'm getting better. And the other one is
Ivaldi.
Yep, okay. You know, Giolito's only allowed 5 runs in 17.2 innings. If you want me to go on, and his whip is 0.79. So I thought that, it was going to come to fruition. I thought the norm was going to seek. That's why I like the over.
Yeah, Giolito, anyway. That is also a good supplement for ice cream.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's supposedly the best. Since I learned this, that if you watch the Chef's Table, great shows on the Chef Table. This is like in conjunction with Tucci. If you go Chef's Table and Tucci, you kind of get a good feel for it. It's a little bit of a mix.
Yeah.
Chef's Table, the best gelato is in Sicily.
Sicily. All right.
They did a whole hour on the gelato in Sicily from this one place, and I forget the name of it. It looked incredible. It's this little kind of bakery ice cream place store. It looked remarkable. But, when you're in Sicily, the ingredients are so incredible. The lemon, that it just makes it so perfect for gelato making, which could be something that, we could start doing.
Yeah, we probably could. You've now conquered baseball.
I'm in Jersey. See, Jersey is the Garden State. Most people don't realize this. It's the nickname's the Garden State. Most people think of Jersey as factory. No. We're the Garden State. The greatest tomatoes ever made here in New Jersey.
And
great blueberries. I mean, the blueberry capital of the world is a town called Hamilton. Just a little nugget for you, Patrick, as we go on this.
Hey,
Do you want to talk a little football?
I try to better myself every week. I woke up today thinking, man, I just don't know enough about blueberries.
Yeah, well, I think cranberries, too. Ocean spray cranberry.
I'm not a big cranberry guy. I don't know about you.
Well, I mean, I like it at Christmas. I mean, Thanksgiving. But I think that Berman will eat it out of the can. Anyway, that's happy either here nor there. We don't want to go there. Happy birthday, Bill. But the other reality is what was I going to say? Oh, today's Trey Lance's workout.
That's right.
I think – so we've got to touch on that. And, I've been called numerous bad words.
And it's offending me. I mean, you're my guy. I'm just trying to stand up. You're like William Wallace.
When Justin Fields doesn't go 3, do you think I'll get any apologies?
Here's the thing that I said to you yesterday, though. I mean, this really gets in people's feelings. The Justin Fields discussion is making people sensitive. Why?
Why?
Can you tell me why?
I don't understand it. I don't know. I'm not against Justin Fields.
You're not. You never said anything bad about him.
I just think, to me, there's some people that feel like his mechanics are going to have to change a little bit. He kind of overstrides the essence of playing the position. It's a little bit like a golf swing. Can it hold up under pressure? I think it's really about how come Mac Jones is graded so high. Like, where did Mac Jones come from? This isn't fair. Like, there's an injustice. Well, there's a lot of people in the league that like Mac Jones. I mean, look, I was talking to yesterday afternoon and this morning. I was talking to teams in the top 10, and they think that I think Detroit's the wild card here.
Really?
Detroit's the wild card in the sense that we know Brad Holmes is titled the general manager. We're not sure what Chris Spielman does, right?
Totally.
Everybody has them taking a wide receiver, which if you ever listen to Chris Spielman talk for 5 seconds, it's about toughness, it's about pad level. That doesn't lend itself to wanting to pick a wide receiver. Now, he lived in Columbus for most of his career when he was in broadcasting. So if there was ever a team that was going to fall in love with Justin Fields, you would think it would be the Lions. You would think it would be.
Or let people think you're falling in love, you're sitting 7, acquire some assets, you need to fill a million holes, maybe they trade back.
Maybe they do, but I think that's Carolina's game plan as well. Carolina likes Fields, they like Lance. Lance is working out today, so we understand this. Today's workout ostensibly was for the 49ers. Now, why? Because the 49ers want to do due diligence in this whole process. There's a fashion of the 49ers organization that truly wants the Kyle Shanahan, who has all the authority. John Lynch manages the organization. Kyle Shanahan makes all the decisions. I know that's not a popular thing to say, but that's in the contracts. If you'd like, we can go look up the contracts and we can see it written in there if no one wants to believe that. Kyle controls what happens in the building. In fact, if you listen to when Robert Salai was being interviewed and they asked him about personnel decisions, he was talking about how Kyle does it. He never got to mention what John Lynch does. Okay, that's sidetracked. So the reality here is there's a strong coalition within this organization for the Niners to take Lance. In fact, I think some high-ranking personnel people in that building are saying to Lynch, don't let him take Jones. We got to get him to take Lance. We got to get him to take Lance. This is about Lance and Mac Jones. I know it's not about Fields. Fields is in a separate category. Nothing against Fields. It's just they're looking for the guy. Mac Jones fits what they want to do. It fits what Kyle wants to do. They're trying to convince him that Lance has a better upside and can still do all the things he wants to do. And that's what today is all about. That's why it's essentially a private workout. Carolina's not going to be there. I don't think Washington's going to be there. These are teams that like Trey Lance, but this is really about the 49ers and having their workout for Trey Lance.
Michael, today is Trey Lance's second pro day. I've got Lynch and Shanahan on board at the workout. I also have representatives Falcons, Broncos, and Patriots supposedly on board.
Right. I don't know if the Patriots are there. It wouldn't doubt if they were. I mean, they maybe didn't make the last one, or I don't know if Josh McDaniels went. To me, Josh McDaniels was at Fields' workout. Perhaps he wanted to see the Lance kid as well and see what goes on there. Look, I think Washington is a strong play for Lance. I think Washington's a strong play for Fields. I think the team that I can't get a handle on are the Broncos. Where are they going with the quarterback position? Because they got to go somewhere.
They cannot sell Locke to the fan base again.
Right, they can't. And Detroit, I just think Detroit, that Big Ten connection. Now, could it be Slater at Detroit? Because Slater's getting a ton of movement. You know, Josh asked me, would Slater go ahead of Sewell? And I said, no, there's no way that would happen. And it should never happen. But the one thing somebody told me yesterday in the league, don't count the Bengals out for loving Big Ten players. The Bengals, organizationally, the Brown family, they love the Big Ten. They love the Big Ten. Now, anybody in their right mind, including, I'm sure, somebody in the Bengals, everybody knows Sewell is not only a good player, Sewell has potential to be a Hall of Fame player, a legitimate Pro Bowl 8-year player. Why he would slip is beyond me.
Look, he's favored to go over 6.5 as far as draft position.
Everybody thinks the Bengals are taking a wide receiver. This is how messed up they are.
You know what's great about that? So they had the unveiling of the Bengals' new jerseys, and they had Burrow sitting down. And Burrow's good. You love Burrow. If he stays healthy, it's a can't miss. But the reminder as to why to take the tackle was there in the picture. He had a huge scar. It was a foot-long scar on his knee from the surgery he just had from not being protected.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, you're preaching to the choir here.
No, been saying it. You've been saying they should take the tackle.
I mean, it makes no sense at all for them not to take the tackle.
The Falcons should probably take the tackle.
No, not probably. They should. They should take the tackle. But this is what we're in an age of. It's the same reason why we're hearing all this Justin Fields has to go three. It's no longer you have to do what Twitter says. You have to do what they say. And, you know, whether that's true or not, I don't know.
I know. I woke up this morning. I was like, what do I have to do today? Twitter.com. I had to figure it out. Now, I was walking Jeezy yesterday. I was like, he is so and I love how confident you are. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the Twitter eggs to get the receipts out when Michael's right about Fields not going three. Does that mean Fields could go two?
No, Fields isn't going two. Fields is going to go somewhere between, I'm going to say, 7 and 12. Okay. I think that's the range he's going to go.
Perfect.
And here's why I'm so confident. I'm so confident because there's a profile for what people like. There's a profile. And in that profile, if you know Kyle Shanahan and you've spent any time around Kyle, right? If you spent any, I was talking to somebody who was with him in Cleveland. And I said, who do you think they're going to take? And he said, well, having been around Kyle for a little while, I believe the Mac Jones rumors. I believe that because Mac Jones is everything Kyle describes he wants at the position. Okay, that's what I think too. But, you know, that all the people around Kyle that have been with them, outside of who are you taking, outside of the question mark, outside of trying to posture, because that's all you read, they're just lying, they're just posturing. No, he's fairly open about what he wants at right tackle, what he wants at left tackle, what he wants. And I've heard him give this talk. So why am I so confident? Because I've heard him talk about the position. And so that naturally leads me to believe the people that he likes at the position, you fill in the blanks. It's the same thing. You put an overlay on what he wants. And I think it's, if it's not Mac Jones, it's Trey Lance. And I talked to somebody in the league who's pretty wired on all the teams in the league. And, you know, everybody seems to agree now. You know, I mean, until the cards come on the table, it's still, everybody can still play their game. But it's just, if you talk to anybody in the league, they're all thinking he's going somewhere between 7 and 12, 7 and 13.
Fields. And you mentioned Shanahan. It's almost like you can see his brain working. Okay, this is a kid from the pocket, off of play action, and he completed 77% of his passes. That accuracy, you mentioned it with Allen up in Buffalo. We don't ever see that. We don't see such a gain in accuracy. But in comes Mac Jones with the accuracy. You know Shanahan loves that.
Right, and what bothers me a little bit about the trade, look, I my first reaction when I heard the trade was Trey Lance, because they said within the trade, they said they're going to keep Jimmy G. And because of that, if you're going to take Trey Lance, you got to redshirt him because he missed all of last year, and you've got to help his mechanics, and you've got to improve his accuracy because he can spray the ball around. He can really spray the ball around. That doesn't mean you can't improve it because we've seen Josh Allen become improved throwing the football. I never thought that could happen. So I hold back on saying it won't happen for Trey Lance because I was proven wrong. However, that being said, if you draft Trey Lance, you do need Jimmy G for the year because you can't put that kid out there to play, especially considering we're not going to have an offseason program, that the players have basically said no offseason program. They're hiding behind the COVID when, in fact, if they go to the gym to work out, if they go anywhere, it would be safer to work out inside their building than it would be going anywhere else. So the COVID thing, to me, this is a protest of 17 games more than anything.
You do realize Trey Lance has played one football game in 15 months.
I do realize this, Patrick. I am.
Isn't that crazy, though?
But
seriously?
You know, don't stop the momentum. I mean, watch the North. You know, watch some of these other games. You know, you can't stop a narrative. That's one thing we've learned in the last 2 years is there is narratives that just keep rolling, and you can't stop them.
Do that bias or that narrative within an organization in a war room? Michael wrote a great article at The Athletic about inside the war room. I'll let you go check that out. But does that happen as well, where you start to notice and you have to be cognizant of slowing down narratives inside your draft war room heading into the draft?
Well, you know, when the scouts start to talk, you got to ask, are they talking or is that really what they think or is that what they've heard? You know, Red Auerbach had a, you know, I attributed this to Red Auerbach. Somebody said it wasn't true, but, you know, don't let your ears do the talking. You know, let your eyes do the talking. Mm. Examine the player. And I think that ultimately sometimes in the scouting world, people hear something and then it becomes, regardless of the data that's coming in, they just ignore it. It's what we call wishful thinking. You want this to happen. You wishing that he, you know, and I think a lot of on Josh Allen was wishful thinking. I don't think anybody in their right mind thought he could change his accuracy. Now,
no way.
I'm sure a lot of people that had him as a high pick in the draft thought so, but that's a hard thing to do.
54% to 70%? That's unthinkable.
Right. I mean, and, you know, and he's a sprayer of the ball. Now, if he gets rushed, could it come back? I think the concern when you look at, when you watch Justin Fields' mechanic, he's an overstrider. The ball will spray on him. And when the pocket gets uncomfortable, they're going to have to change his mechanics. I've said this before. You know, if you listen to Tom Brady talk about quarterbacking play, how to throw the football, what he values, you just listen to him talk. And I have at length about what he values. And he's taught me what to look for in the mechanics of the game. Justin Fields wouldn't be that type of guy. You'd have to change him. You'd have to alter him. That doesn't mean he can't do it. Just there's going to be things that he has to do within the framework. And I think that good quarterback coaches like Kyle and like other people see that as a project. They see that as something that maybe they don't want to risk taking on.
I read a great article about Steven Strasburg, who potentially a Hall of Famer, but the injuries have been a concern. He's only finished one season, Michael. And he went to the IL yesterday during the Lombardi line. And the article I was reading about the inverted W throwing motion, somebody came on and said, an expert came on and said, he will always stay injured because of his elbow and the inverted W nature of his throwing motion. It's impossible for him to stay healthy. And you were mentioning some of that, you know, maybe, I don't know if it's a looping throwing motion, but some of the odd throwing motion from Lance, maybe injury could be a concern.
Well, you know, I think when you throw as much as some of these guys throw,
right? Pardon me, Fields.
And, yeah, excuse me. You know, and so when your throwing motion is problematic because when it's not compact, when it's not able to just drive it, you know, it's like a pitcher in baseball who is strides forward before he throws. You know, he's going to struggle when the pocket gets dirty. Where's my, you know, you watch Aaron Rodgers. He can
Brady
just
and Rodgers have the most compact throwing.
It's compact.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And you have to retrain that, and I think it's very challenging. And so when the pocket's clear, that's no problem. But it's that when the bullets are flying, what are we going to do?
Yep, they're releasing the ball up by their ear. It's so compact. You're right about that.
Let's go back on the betting odds in the next break on this.
You want to bring the season win totals back?
No, I want to bring the I want to bring the Justin.
I want to bring the draft props.
I want to do that, and I want to talk about that
a
little bit more.
Coming back with draft props here, Lombardi Line got the draft coming up a week from Thursday. It's a Monday. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, TG, Thomas Gable, Borgata's going to join, Will Hill's going to join, Josh Applebaum's going to join, but first, basketball hockey games. Every day of the week, it's BetMGM Sports Nevada, premier sports betting app. Download the app right now, BetMGM.com. Bring your state-issued ID to any MGM on the strip, and you're going to be ready to go within minutes. Got to be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Okay, Michael Lombardi, as we welcome you back. So Steph is letting me know that BetMGM has taken down a bunch of their Mac Jones props. We still have the Mac Jones props to go 3 overall. He is your second betting favorite at -110. Of course, Fields is your betting favorite at I think -140 at this point. We'll throw it up there. But you wanted to run with the Jones prop a little bit here.
Well, I mean, you know, Woody Page out of Denver is reporting that Denver's snooping around with the Atlanta pick, which makes sense, right? I think, you know, Denver's going to do their due diligence to see what it would take to get from 9 up to 5. We'll see if they can do that, if that's the case. I mean, look, if you're one of these teams in the draft and you're hoping that, you know, a player gets pushed back to you, you want 4 quarterbacks to go 1, 2, 3, 4. You want that. Denver's at the workout today to watch Trey Lance throw as well. So we'll see what they do, if they can move up. But look, my sense of it is I would play Mac Jones to be the third pick of the draft heavy, and I would offset that with Trey Lance. If you want to protect yourself with Trey Lance. If you want to go all in, go with Mac Jones.
Okay, so you believe there's a better chance Trey Lance goes 3 as opposed to Fields going 3. Who is the favorite?
I think there's no doubt. I think there's no doubt. That's the way I would. That's what I wanted to make sure we position ourselves there.
What are these teams? What are Lynch and Shanahan, specifically Shanahan, looking for at Trey Lance's second pro day today?
I think what he's trying to do is, and it's an appeasement trip. I think he's got people in his organization, high-ranking people, that really like Trey Lance, and I think he likes Mac Jones. And I think that, you know, they're trying to say, hey, have an open mind, go back there, take a look, see what you think. If you know Kyle Shanahan didn't make that move to go to 3 because he was hoping to get one of the 3 guys. That's not who he is. That's not how he operates. He's tactical. He's strategic in what he wants to do. You know, there's a strategy part. How do we improve our team? Then there's the tactical part. How do we get to what we can improve our team? So, you know, I think he moved up there with clear intent on a player. And I think that player is Mac Jones. And if it's not, they're trying to convince him that it's Trey Lance.
If they end up drafting Mac Jones at 3, will there be conversation as to if they had to relinquish those assets to move up, or could they have stayed where they wanted to be? Could they have stayed where their original draft position?
I think that's what's driving all the paranoia
I think
and
so
the
too.
Aggravation. is like, why didn't you just stay there? And, you know, JBT's, you know, he contributes to this conversation too, you know. And all you're doing is dealing in fake information. It's okay for Daniel Jones to go six. It's not good enough for Mac Jones to go three. How do you feel that, you know? And so I think you have to look at that through a different lens. And, look, everybody says you could get him. I think there's a lot of teams picking high that would have liked to got Mac Jones. Now, I think there's a split. I think some teams really like Mac Jones. I think some teams would prefer Trey Lance, obviously. But I think that that's each its own, you know? And I think that that's the way it is. I think there's a lot of teams that would have liked to gone up to get Mac Jones. There's no guarantee you could have got him at 8 or 9.
But and that's the point. And I think whether he's right or wrong about Daniel Jones, I think that's what the GM with the Giants said is, you know, why would we wait? Remember, they had 2 first-round picks that year. Why would we wait if that's the asset we want? Shanahan's argument would be, why would I take any chance if 100% Jones is the guy I want?
Right. And you know, and look, then Denver's sitting there. Denver, according to Woody Page's rumor today, Denver wants to trade to get the 4 to either get Fields or Lance. And I don't know which one they prefer.
Wow. So Denver is sitting right now 9. I don't know behind them. Well, you look ahead, the Panthers, the Lions, you said it to start the show, and I think it's worth repeating. The Lions are a very, very important linchpin there at 7.
I think you have to. What I don't think people really take into account is understanding the dynamics of the people who make the decision. The Bengals, for example, they love Big Ten players, right? They like big school, Big Ten. I mean, Chris Spielman's going to have a loud voice. This is his first draft. He's going to have a loud voice, and that voice is going to be a Big Ten-related voice. And it's going to be somebody who's got toughness, somebody who plays with all the words that we've heard for years coming out of Chris Spielman's mouth on television are going to be repeated in that draft tour. When all of a sudden, when he start talking about wide receivers, one thing about this draft is you can get receivers. I mean, the kid from Mississippi is going to go in his 20s. He may be as good as any of these other guys, more.
Well, as you know, I grew up a Lions fan, so a big Spielman, as a middle linebacker, a big Spielman fan. Here's what he has to say in all of his interviews. Grit, 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 toughness, grit, grit, toughness. So that's and I agree with you. I think he's picking. I think the final word goes to Spielman in that organization. Very interesting way of looking at it. Who's making the decisions? We come back. We know Shanahan's making the decisions with the 49ers. Next, Thomas Gable. He makes all the calls at the Borgata. Season never ends. It's time to get your bets ready for the NFL draft. The teams are evaluating the prospects, and our football experts are looking for better betting opportunities. We've got the team to help you. Brent Musburger, of course, Michael Lombardi, Gil Alexander, Mike Pritchard, all of our VSiN football experts. Learn more and start your free trial at VSiN.com right now. Okay, it's VSiN.com/subscribe for your free trial. Michael Lombardi, hanging out in Jersey, sir. On a Monday. We got our buddy TG. What would you like to start the conversation with as far as TG, as we say hi to the race and sportsbook manager at the Borgata? I'm going to let you throw out the first question, our man, TGZ.
Thomas, I can only say yesterday I must have got 1,000 texts about you're taking so much action on the Giants playoffs and Super Bowls. That people were just stunned by that news, which I am too. I'm completely stunned by that.
Is it really that stunning when you consider where we are? I mean, we always get a ton of New York money,
but New Yorkers are a little bit more sharp money. Yeah, this we know. It's St. Jude's money, you know. It's the sharp money and St. Jude's money. But it's just shocking that you know New Yorkers are a little bit more. You got to prove it to me. You know, Philly fans, they're all in, man. They're going to go. And then if you piss them off, you're in trouble. But they're a little bit more optimistic. I see, and obviously proven wrong, that the Giant fans are more pessimistic than I guess I was wrong on that.
Yeah, I'd say so. Maybe the Jets fans are a little bit more pessimistic these days. But yeah, I don't know. The Giants fans, they're coming out and certainly putting their money, as you say, they're contributing their money.
How about Hoyas fans? How's a Hoya fan doing on this Monday, April 19th, Thomas?
Doing all right, Patrick. Doing all right.
What,
Thank you.
Hey, did you guys book? Stephanie and I were just discussing this. Did you book the Jake Paul fight and that card on Saturday night?
So not the card. We booked the fight, but not the rest of the card, or any of the musical performances either on that display. But no, we did book the fight. We actually got decent handle on it. There was interest. We took a loss with Paul, and we had up some props around the fight as well. So people were betting Paul to win by knockout, and that obviously came through. So we did take a loss on the fight.
Thomas, how are you doing on the NBA? Are you still – have you – you know, we were talking to Vinny last week, and he basically put limits on some of the games, or most of the games, right, right, Patrick? Didn't he put limits on games?
Well, he said the overnights were very tricky because you don't know who's in, don't know who's out.
Yeah, what have you been doing?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously have smaller limits on the overnights as well. That's a smart thing to do, certainly with the way this season has gone and the questionable status for a lot of the players. So, yeah, smaller limits on the overnight lines, and then obviously we'll increase them through the day. But we are at our normal limits, I would say, game day for all of the NBA.
All right. By the way, I don't know if you booked much. It was early. Boston's up 9-2, middle of the fourth here. So I think the total dropped down to 7.5, right, with Giolito and Evaldi on the bump. But this number's flying over the total.
Yeah, close 7.5. Juice to the over, though. But, yeah, definitely, obviously, already has gone over. This was one that we took a lot of money on the overnight line, actually on the Red Sox. Not a ton of tickets written, I think, just because of the time. Seeing an 11:10 a.m. Eastern game is a little unusual, but a lot of money bet on this game, especially on the overnight line here.
All right, we want to talk before we want to get in some basketball talk. Michael just brought it up, and how about his Golden State Warriors and 76ers? Where's the number there at the Borgata for tonight?
Yeah, so this number has gone from an opener of the Sixers laying 8.5 now to Sixers laying 10. Total is 224.
Who's not playing? Who's not playing?
So here's the list, right? So for the Sixers, Harris is questionable. Hill obviously may make his debut tonight. He's still questionable. Curry and Howard are questionable. For Golden State, Oubre and Steph Curry, of course, with his left ankle soreness, is also questionable. He was questionable against Boston, though, on Saturday, and then dropped 47 in that. So who knows if Steph Curry, we expect him to play, but he's just been on fire. I mean, he's averaging 39.9 points per game in April, scored 30 or more in 10 straight games. Golden State, obviously, they're going to be featuring their small ball lineup here in this one. Draymond Green at center. So expect a lot of double teams on Embiid when he has the ball. But big opportunity here for the Sixers, Michael. They could go up two games on Brooklyn with a win tonight. And they don't have a terribly hard schedule from here on out, with the exception of two games against Milwaukee.
Right, you know, and to see who Milwaukee plays in those games. I thought yesterday, you know, Miami's come from behind win against the Nets. Of course, Durant got hurt in the second quarter. We didn't see him in the whole second half. And then Kyrie Irving tried to take over in the fourth quarter, and that didn't come to fruition. Patrick, you would look good in that outfit that James Harden wore like yesterday.
You.
I was thinking about that. You would have looked really good in that.
Thank you.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I went to Amazon.
I'm with you, Thomas. We'll order it for you. The Warriors are 0-5 against the spread in the last five games on the road. And they've only covered three times in the last 12 games in Philly. That's why I think there's something going on with this line. When it jumps that much, to me, it tells me maybe Curry's not going to play.
Yeah, we've got it 10 here, Thomas.
Yeah, so it's definitely moved from the opener. But, you know, again, I go back to Saturday, and Curry, you know, same status on Saturday. And then he ends up playing and scoring 47, so...
I mean, anybody can keep – that's what I'm saying. It's just the hardest sport to figure out what's going on, who's playing, who's not. I mean, you know, Durant plays, but then he gets hurt and he's done for the game. Jimmy Butler didn't play yesterday, and they still were able to pull that off. You know, it's just – it's a hard league to really handicap. It truly is. I don't know how you do it, Thomas.
How about Washington?
And that's the one thing
– go ahead, Thomas. I'm sorry.
Good. Well, sorry, no, just that's the one thing really that you have to take a look at with the Sixers. So obviously they have the best record right now in the Eastern Conference, but when you look at the games that they've played and the teams, the elite teams that they've beaten, none of them have really been at full strength.
No, they haven't. But you could say that for a lot of teams. I mean, you could say that for a lot of teams. I mean, look, the Celtics went out and killed the Lakers. They didn't have their two stars. I mean, it's all over the league. I mean, when have we seen a marquee matchup? I thought, you know, sitting on the couch on a Sunday afternoon watching Brooklyn play Miami and, you know, Durant's in witness protection and Jimmy Butler's not playing. So there you go.
Thomas, right. do you bring your lunch to work? Do you make your own sandwiches?
No, I eat here. They provide food for me, Patrick.
Well, all right, a little bit of a flex. No big deal. Thomas,
you asked. You asked. Well, I mean, the man's going to answer the question you asked.
And you know what he said?
When you ask him a question,
catering on a Monday, big time. Thanks, Thomas. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Thomas.
All right, thank you.
Racing sportsbook director, bougie Thomas Gable. We're coming back with Will Hill. Okay, BetMGM welcomes you to Showtime. Chance to win $100 for a $1 moneyline wager. The Bucks, the Suns, tonight's game. Use the bonus code VEASAN100. You're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app. You see it right there in front of you. Bet $1 to win $100 on the Bucks or Suns hitting a three-pointer. You got to be located in Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan, 1-800-GAMBLER. In New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Tennessee, call or text Redline, 800-889-9789. Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Mr. Baseball, Michael Lombardi, is hanging out in Jersey. Mr. Laker is going to join us, Point Spread Weekly contributor. Will Hill, not the Will Hill on Twitter, he says hi. Hi, Will. How are you?
What's up, boys? How are you?
Doing great.
We're doing good, Will.
I made that game yesterday. The Mets were fun. Mets got a nice win. The Yankees are still the Yankees. That's just an embarrassment. I just bet Lance plus 500 to be the third overall pick. Did I make a good bet or a bad bet, Lombardi?
I think you have to tie it together with Mac Jones. So I think I would do those two together, and you guarantee it. I mean, if I'm wrong and they take Lance, or that someone in that organization can convince Kyle Shanahan to go in the Lance direction, then you're protected. So I think it's just a way to be protected. It's like betting the MVP and, take five guys in the MVP poll, put 100 on them. You're going to win. You're going to make money.
Well, I know one team that – drafted a quarterback last year you're high on, so why don't we start with the Chargers? They drafted Herbert, and they come in with a lot of expectations. You're going to go over the season win total of 9, Will.
The one thing I'm nervous about here, this is going to be everyone's trendy team, and I think for good reason. I mean, this is the last 2 years they've lost 16 one-score games. I mean, we saw it. The coaching, I mean, Lynn's a nice guy, but the coaching was so bad in close games. Herbert, I think, is going to be a little bit of a sleeper pick to win MVP. You know, we've seen Mahomes, Lamar win the MVP in their second year. Wentz almost won it. If he didn't get hurt, he would have won it. So I just think this team's ready to pop. Now, in terms of winning division, probably not, but I like them as an over, maybe 11, 12 wins. And I really like the coach. I like Staley to win coach of the year. I had Stefanski last year. I think Staley fits some of that mold. He's a younger guy, analytically driven. That, you know, the writers love that. Great story, too. I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, he's coaching the defensive backs at John Carroll, and now he's the head coach of the L.A. Chargers, a cancer survivor. So, I mean, not to throw that in there, but, I mean, there is a narrative element to this where people are going to take notice if this team's, you know, 9-4 in the middle of the year, say, wow, what a coach, what a candidate. So I think you could probably tie those bets together, you know, Chargers over and then Staley coach of the year.
You know, I do like it. I mean, when you look at this Charger team, 18th in the last 5 years in terms of wins. And 16th in the last 3 years in terms of overall wins. You know, they have a lot of talent. I think the fact that I like this pick is because I do think Staley will change and put the Vic Fangio style of defense. Now, it's going to be imperative that they get a left tackle in the draft. I think they feel like they can get Slater or Vera. They're going to get an offensive lineman in the draft somewhere. in the first round. But I do think that if he can improve the scheme of the defense, and, you know, this is what I've been harping on for a while. I think the Pete Carroll system of defense has kind of seen its better days, especially when you can't dominate up front. And I think that just changing that and giving the Chargers a different way to play, going into, you know, where Gruden doesn't know exactly what the front and what the coverage is. You know, Mahomes doesn't know the front and coverage. And then, you know, he's got to go play, and Denver doesn't know the front. So it's, to me, I think this is a huge move for them. I do like it. I do think he'll be a good coach. And offensively, Joe Lombardi's got to prove that what happened in Detroit when he was the offense coordinator, he's learned from that experience and he becomes a better coach here.
If you like Will Hill's over 9 for the Chargers, you get plus 105 right now at BetMGM. Will, your next one up, my Detroit Lions, we're going to go under the 5.
This team stinks. Do you want to move on to baseball?
It is. I mean,
what they are just so bad. I'm a believer. I'm not a believer in Goff. I really like Stafford. I think Goff was kind of living under the cocoon of McVay, where McVay kind of just held his hand and got him to a Super Bowl. But a lot of that was McVay's scheme, McVay's play calling. I mean, they lose Galladay, they lose Jones. I just think this is a brutal team. I'm not sure what Campbell's going to be as a coach. They're bad on defense. I don't think they have odds to get the number one first pick yet, but it's between them and I don't know where you want to go with Watson and the Texans. Those to me are the two worst teams. There's holes all over the place. You know, I feel like they would trade Goff in a second if they could to get off that number. And just, you know, I think they want to be bad. I think they know this is a transition year, maybe two transition years. So, I mean, I think worst case scenario, 5-12, you get a refund. I have a hard time seeing this team get the 6-11. I just think this is a total rebuild and I like the under. This is one of my favorite ones. Do you have a favorite over under, Lombardi?
Let me just answer your question there. Great point, because I think when we were all heard that Dan Campbell became the head coach, the number one thing we couldn't believe was not that he became the head coach, that he got a 6-year contract. Like, that's unheard of in the NFL. 6 years for a first-time head coach, which those years on the deal say, we want to clean it up. We want to fix it, you know? And I think, to me, that's something that I would look at as possibly playing within the over-under on the 5, because I do think they could. That's what makes me think he'll draft a quarterback. They'll try to repair this team moving forward. To answer your question, Will, you know, I think a lot of it, I think I'm going to wait and see what Denver does. I like the 7.5 number at Denver to go over because they're playing back at Mile High with crowd noise. I think that'll help. I think your point yesterday about the crowd noise is going to be significant. So at 7.5, the Raiders are at 7.5. I think that's a good play there. I do like that. That would be the one that jumps off to me at the top of my head, the Broncos going over 7.5.
Yeah, that 6-year deal, that's like Patrick's deal with Veasan. I mean, not for as much money as Patrick's deal, but that's what that reminded me of when you said the 6-year deal.
From your lips to God's ears, William Hill. The next one up, that is funny in a myriad of ways. The next one up would be the Cardinals at the Nats tonight. You got Flaherty Ross. Where are you going? Here, let me just give you the number here. Opened. Looks like it opened right around a pick'em, and right now St. Louis is getting bet a little bit up to 110-ish.
Yeah, I could see why. I mean, Ross hasn't given up a run this year, which is surprising, but I don't buy it. I mean, 2016 was the last time he had an ERA under 5. Just not a very good pitcher. Maybe he's found something, but if he does, I'll be wrong. But I just think Flaherty's the much better pitcher here, so I'll go with the Redbirds. And anyone you like, Patrick, as a long shot future in baseball? Is there anything on the board you see in terms of like 10-1 or higher with either, you know, win the division, win the World Series, get to the World Series? Anyone on the board you really like?
Well, I think you said it. Maybe it was yesterday, or did we have you on Saturday where you said all of a sudden that 103 on the Dodgers is looking like a gift? Mr. Baseball knows this. Now the Padres needed. There is a rivalry building there, and we've got what 15 to go with the Dodgers and the Friars, the Padres. Yesterday the Padres won late, but the Dodgers, I mean, it's a 13-3 start. Will, this is the greatest start in the history of baseball after a team won a championship. So this Dodgers team is ridiculously deep. They can have Bellinger, they can have Betts, they can have Seager out of the lineup, and they're still better than anybody in baseball. It's incredible.
And yeah, they just play just these guys one after another.
Yeah, I mean, and look, they're going against the Mariners, Justice Sheffield tonight. You got to like them with his 5-point ERA, Patrick. Don't you like them
the problem with the Dodgers is, and we talked about it yesterday, maybe it was with Will, the problem is you're never going to see those 115s, the price that we got on them with, you know, Bauer on the mound. Look, tonight it's back up to -2. I'm not laying that. I might throw it in a parlay for fun, -200, $2 to win a dollar. But the prices we got on them over the weekend in San Diego are prices that are long gone on the Dodgers the rest of the way.
You know, I've converted to a little bit of a run line guy more and more just because, you know, especially tonight, they're on the road. You're in the American League, so no pitcher hitting. So you get the extra at bat. You figure
it's a letdown spot, too.
It is. And they get the Padres next weekend, too. I think they get four with the Padres next weekend, which will be a lot of fun. But yeah, a light baseball card tonight, too. I'm not sure why so few games.
Letdown spot, Mr. Baseball. They go. That's a jam. That's a energy drama filled three games against the Padres. They head all the way up to Seattle. Seattle actually playing good ball. They're 10-6, straight up night.
I thought you might go for the Angels and the Rangers tonight. You know, because I thought with Dylan Bundy pitching tonight, that might pique your interest because he's had three really good starts in the 2021 campaign. So what's he had, 22 strikeouts and five walks in 19 innings?
And Bundy,
that's why I was thinking about
Bundy
that.
Has pitched very well. And guess what? He's all the way up.
But
to
I can
two.
See the price.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah,
my goodness.
Yeah,
look at that,
it,
Will.
Yeah.
That's off an opener of like 165 all the way up to 220.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some bad teams.
Party,
the
Patrick.
Rangers are one of them. You're late. And Bundy's finally put it together. He was a high pick at high school or college. I forget where he came from.
Very
just
good.
Never put it together for Baltimore.
Yep.
Gave up a million home runs one of his last years with Baltimore. And, you know, sometimes in pitching, it's the right tweak. It's the right pitching coach, something mechanical, pitch selection. And you can just go from, you know, turning your career around just like he did. He's a perfect example of that.
Okay, we've got
the under at 8.5. Do you think the under at 8.5 is a good play? It was at 8. It went to 8.5.
I worry. I have laid off anything that resembles an under.
The Rangers can't score. You know, they don't score. They're 29th in on-base percentage. I mean, I it's 642. I don't know if they can score.
You know what it is with the Angels, and Will, and Mr. Baseball, and Will, you know this, the disproportionate amount of offense is coming from like Shohei and Trout. It's all coming from the middle of that lineup, but they can mash. I mean, they're 7-6 to the over, but their numbers are generally tilted to the over because of such bad starting pitching as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Have we gotten any data with the baseballs? Because I know we thought there'd be fewer home runs. They strung them differently, even though they swore they didn't string them differently to begin with. Is there any data? It feels like there are fewer homers. Is there anything to support that, or it's too early to tell?
Well, we know that the unders yesterday were scored. They went 11-3-1. Wow, a push on the Astros Mariners. And so the unders, you know, are cashing this year at a 53.4% clip. So the unders have been cashing, Will.
Yeah, it just feels like the last few years, every year a different home run record gets breaking, whether it's team home runs for the league, where it's just, it was crazy. They're flying out like golf balls.
You have one more to get in the last minute here. You're going to go, speaking of the Padres, you want to go Brewers, Padres under.
Yeah, two really good bullpens. Padres have been a top three bullpen. Brewers at the top with Hader and Williams have a good one. And something I don't look at and talk about enough, defense. Both of these teams top of the league in terms of runs saved. It's one of the reasons the Yankees struggle. Just terrible on defense. You know, Woodruff is a guy. His name isn't Jacob DeGrom, so I don't know if he can win the Cy Young, but he'll be in the mix. He has nasty stuff. So I like the under a 7 here.
Yeah, the Padres
gotten better every single year. I mean, Woodruff, he was a guy I had down on my list to watch. I can't wait. Nice place, Will. I love it.
Mr. Baseball.
Sixers the one seed. What about the Sixers as the one seed? I know we got to go, but are you optimistic or what?
No, I'm never optimistic about the Sixers.
Although, there's a sinking suspicion he likes the Sixers tonight. When we come back,
I don't think Curry's going to. Yeah, I don't think he's going to play. That line's moving. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe the
William Hill.
The sandbagging. William Hill, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. Have a good Monday.
Easton.com/subscribe. See you guys.
As always. We'll come back, go through the season win totals, and get to Michael's 76ers next here on the Lombardi Line.